gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to the first episode of the Grinding the Edge podcast here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyKoopa, and you can also find the tools that I make on SouthHarmonFF.com. From now until the draft, if you go on right now, you'll see a banner right at the top. Use the code DRAFTSEASON and you get 20% off of the Warp tool, which also includes the League Simulator. Now, who am I and what do I do? Obviously, I've just talked about how I make a bunch of tools, and yeah, that's right. I'm a very analytics-focused person, and I spend a lot of time coming up with ideas and then trying to prove them with numbers. Rather than just going off of my gut feeling on, hey, I'm in a bunch of leagues and I feel like this happens a lot, I want to try and find a way to prove that with numbers. Can I prove that if I have a bunch of people in my league that they're all going to act a certain way? Can I prove that going my strategy of tight ends don't matter is actually going to work out in the end? That's how I am attempting to dynasty. That's how I'm attempting to do fantasy football in general. And that's the point of this podcast, is to provide a place for me to share my strategy, to research some of these ideas that I've had, and share the results with you. Hopefully allow us to all become better players, be able to value the players in our leagues better, and ultimately be able to go and win. This podcast is not supposed to be like a lot of the other fantasy podcasts that you already listen to. It's supposed to be supplemental. I'm not going to be talking about which players are the best and when the breaking news comes out. I'm not going to be focused even on individual players in some episodes. I'm going to intentionally have episodes where I don't talk about players at all. Or if I do talk about players, I'm talking about them as a proxy. Like I'm talking about quarterback 12 rather than talking about Kyler Murray or Trevor Lawrence or Brock Purdy. Because all three of those guys, you're going to have your bias one way or the other. And my strategy doesn't matter about the bias of one player or another. You're allowed to have your own player biases. I know I have my own player biases. But instead, I'm trying to help impart a strategy upon you. And I don't want you to hear my strategy and be turned off from it because I say, hey, Brock Purdy's the guy you want. Because I know Mike is going to immediately be like, I'm not going to follow that strategy Coop is saying for me to get Brock Purdy. But if I were to just change it up and say, hey, you want Kyler Murray, now he might be very into it. So by going with these proxies where I'm saying quarterback 12 or where I'm saying running back 2 or any wide receiver between 13 and 36, that allows me to give you an idea of what kind of player I'm shooting for. And then you can decide how you want to fill that gap. If you listen to the takes here on South Harmon, whether you listen to takes somewhere else from an entirely different fantasy content group, that's how you can shape the strategy to work for you. I'm not trying to give you the one clear answer. I'm instead trying to give you the ability to think through some of the stuff that goes on in your leagues and apply these strategies that are proven by analytics to be able to have a greater chance of winning your leagues. So now let's go into the topic for episode 1. Episode 1 is not going to have anything to do with any players. It's all about what is the most common type of fantasy league. I have spent a ton of time pulling lots of data from fantasy leagues, and we're going to use these over a lot of the episodes. But just for today, we're going to talk about, alright, what kind of leagues are people playing in? So that way we can get an idea of the mindset most people are used to thinking in. I'm pulling from over 300,000 redraft leagues, over 50,000 keeper leagues, and 150,000 dynasty leagues. But for this week specifically, I'm going to focus in on dynasty. We're on a dynasty podcast channel. I play the majority of my leagues are Dynasty, and I assume a lot of my listener base here is going to be Dynasty focused as well. So while in the future we might come back and we take a look at some redraft leagues, we're going to focus on Dynasty for this episode, especially being in March, April, that time of year where everybody's listening for Dynasty anyway. So, the first thing that we can do is look at how many teams are in each league. Now, going into this, I kind of assumed that, hey, 12 teams probably going to be the majority of the leagues. If you look in the questions that are asked on in Trade Advice forums, if you look at the questions that are asked on AMAs and different Dynasty YouTube streams, they're almost always 12-team leagues. But I found it really surprising that only 42.7% of leagues are 12-team leagues. It very close behind are 36.2% are 10-team. So while I thought that there were way, way, way more 12-team leagues than there were 10-team leagues, that there's going to be, it's going to be much closer. A lot of Dynasty managers are probably used to there not being as much scarcity, because in a 10-team league, you don't have as much scarcity as you do a 12-team. Especially you start talking about Superflex, the difference between starting 24 quarterbacks versus 20 quarterbacks every week is absolutely massive. And the fact that so many people are used to only starting 20 quarterbacks, it means that there's going to be a lot of managers that if you end up in a league where that scarcity is turned up, you end up in a 12-team league where there's a lot more starting positions. If you're in a 14-team league, that those managers are going to be kind of out of the water on the values, and they may overcorrect or undercorrect pretty easily just because they aren't as familiar with the format. Now, after the 12 teams and 10 teams, I thought for sure the next one was going to be 14-team. I mean, that's the next thing that you hear is all the content creators talk about their 14-team leagues. And I know that I'm in a few 14-team leagues, and I'm not even in any 10-team leagues. Well, actually, the third most common is an 8-team league. There's 8.8% of people are in an 8-team league. And then after that, it's not even a 14-team league. It's 3.4% are in a 4-team league. It's not until you get to the fifth most common league type that you get 3% of leagues are 14-team leagues. Now, that's really surprising to me. I thought for sure 14-team was going to be way higher. I did not think it was going to be as high as 12-team. I did not think it was going to be as high as 10-team. I'm very surprised that there's more 8-team leagues and 4-team leagues than there are 14-team leagues. Boys, try saying that three times fast. But it means that, hey, we're going to be spending a lot of our time looking at now the 12-team leagues and the 10-team leagues. And it's good to know that almost everybody is corralled into those formats, and so we have a basis to go off of. When we're looking at dynasty ranks, when we're looking at generic questions of values of players, we can reliably use the 12-team format because that is most common. But that talking about 10-team might not be the worst thing to do either, because a lot of people play in 10-team leagues. So for the rest of the show, I'm going to only look at those 12-team leagues and those 10-team leagues, since they're the most popular, plus any advice that I give around them is going to account for almost 80% of all leagues in Dynasty. So the rest of this episode, I'm going to talk about 12-team and 10-team only. Future episodes, I might do some that are geared more towards one of those more niche formats. When that's the case, I'll talk about, hey, this is only for this niche format. I'm talking about the differences, how I think through it. But for right now, we're just trying to figure out what is common, what is simple, and that's 12-team and 10-team leagues. So out of all the possible 12-team leagues, let's go there first, because I don't want to lump the 10-team and the 12-team together, because there might be some reasons for differences in how those leagues are actually set up. 12-team leagues, 64.5% of them are Superflex. I did not expect it to be this much. I knew Superflex was becoming popular, but I actually thought that one QB would have a significantly higher market share. I thought it would be much closer to a 50-50 percentage. But most people are in that Superflex mindset now. There's nearly double the leagues that are Superflex as there are one QB, as only 35% of leagues are one quarterback leagues. So if we're talking about a generic dynasty manager, they're going to be familiar with Superflex. And I know me personally, I play in the majority of Superflex leagues. And so that's something that I need to keep in mind, in that one quarterback leagues are almost out of the element now. That Superflex leagues are dominant. They are the ones that most people are playing. And so we have to just be aware that, hey, managers are not going to be undervaluing the quarterbacks anymore. Like, there was this thought a couple of years ago that, hey, people are coming over from this redraft one quarterback mindset. They don't understand what Superflex values are. Well, if they are paying attention to any amount of Dynasty content, it's likely going to be Superflex. So, diving into Superflex even more. What are the total number of starters that you would have in your Superflex league? We hear a lot of Superflex start 9, start 10, and that's where I would start, and that's what the data shows us. We have 45% of leagues that are Superflex are also start 10. 28% of them are start 9, and then 16% of them are start 11. The rest of the overall numbers in order, I'm just going to leave out the percentages, are start 8, 12, 13, 7, 14. And then everything else is less than even 20 total leagues. So I'm in a start 16 league, and that's one of 8 of them. So if you're in something that's not one of those numbers that I listed, your league is very unique. Now, what's kind of interesting is that we kind of have this little bubble right in the middle where start 10 is the most common, and then you have start 9 and start 11 on either side that are the next most common around it, and then it just starts to keep spreading as less and less likely around it. And that kind of fits with a lot of what we expect. A lot of people are used to start 10 being the default format in the 12-team Superflex, and so we're going to gear a lot of content around that. So be aware that a lot of people are in those start 9, 10, 11 leagues, and we're going to be focused in around that when we're talking about generic player values, generic, hey, how much is this player worth compared to this draft pick? Like, stuff like that is going to be predominantly around that 12-team Superflex start 10, maybe 9 or 11 range. And if you're outside of that, you need to pay attention to how does this advice change for the league that I'm in? How does it change for when I have much deeper starting lineups, or where I only start one quarterback, or maybe my starting lineup is really funky? Like, maybe it starts a bunch of wide receivers as extras, but it doesn't up the number of running backs or tight ends or flex. Things like that are all going to change the values in your league, and you need to pay attention to that. That's the whole reason behind why I made my Warp tool that is up on southharmonff.com. But the reason behind it was because I wanted something to give me a number that told me what is the difference between this league and a standard league. And so over time, I've learned, okay, this is what a normal league looks like. This is what a not normal league looks like. And so I'm able to use that when I join leagues that are not the standard. Because sometimes it's fun to join a league that isn't standard. Because then not only are you there with new managers, but you're there with a scoring format that nobody really understands. There might be different ways to win that league that you don't necessarily know about. Whereas everyone that's playing in this Superflex 12 teams start 10, there's a formula that everyone knows how to follow because it's been talked through over and over and over again. And the best way to win is going to be to have the right player evaluations. I mentioned at the beginning of this show, my thing is not player evaluations. My thing is the strategy. The strategy is mostly there in your start 10s and your start 9s, but where it's not there is for a lot of the other leagues. And so that's what I'm going to be exploring a lot in this podcast. So let's jump forward to the one quarterback leagues that are still 12 team. How many players are starting in those? Well, one would think that, hey, I just need to remove the superflex, and that's probably going to be right. Following that logic, you would think that it would be 45% of leagues are start nine, but actually only 25% are start nine. Instead, 55.7% of them are start eight. Now, what that means is that a lot of those leagues in one quarterback, they probably don't have that extra flex spot, or they don't have an extra a third wide receiver spot. And so not only are we reducing the need for quarterbacks to have those depth guys, we're also reducing the need for depth at running back, at wide receiver, at tight end. It increases the value of those studs. And so when we have people coming into Dynasty from this one quarterback mindset, they're going to be even more used to, hey, I want the guys that are at the top of the league. I want to have my Amon-Ra St. Browns. I want to have my Tyreek Hills. I want to have my Christian McCaffreys. Whereas in some of the leagues that they might join where, hey, they join a super flex, even a super flex start 11 is going to have a lot more depth. You might end up starting Jerry Jeudy. Guys like Ezekiel Elliott are going to be very useful. And those managers aren't going to be as tuned into that thinking. And you can take a lot of advantage of that. You can know that, okay, they are going to overvalue the high end, so maybe I can tear down a little bit and try to match their points output because they're going to have really weak flex spots, and I can have really strong ones to make up for the fact that, yeah, I don't have the best running back one or wide receiver one. So these are the kinds of things where as we start to understand, hey, how many people are playing in these kinds of leagues, you might find some counter strategies that are just because it's how they're used to thinking of them. In addition to most of the leagues being start 8 and start 9, we still have a decent number that are start 7 and start 10. 12% of them are start 7 and 6% of them are start 10. And so a start 10 one quarterback league is what you would consider, okay, that's equivalent to a start 11 super flex. But there's way more start 11 super flexes than there are start 10 one quarterbacks. So we just have to keep in mind that if people are talking about, hey, I've got one quarterback leagues in my portfolio, or even better, if you go onto a tool like we have on the South Harmon website called The Lab, and you look at your opposing manager's leagues that they're in, you might see, hey, this guy's in a bunch of one quarterback leagues. Not only is he going to be in the mindset of quarterbacks don't matter as much, but he's also in the mindset that the other positions are top heavy. And you can take advantage of those managers because they might know, oh yeah, when somebody sends me a quarterback offer in this super flex league, I need to really pay attention and make sure that I'm valuing him right. And they might go out and use other tools, ask for advice, but they might not realize you're getting one over on them by performing some tear down strategies at the other positions. Because in their mind, they're like, oh, a start 9 one quarterback league, that's just like a start 10 super flex. But they might not realize that their start 9 that they're thinking of is really a start 8, or they might lump their start 8s and start 9s together, and then so they're just valuing the players incorrectly. So now I'm going to jump over to the actual scoring settings that are in these leagues, and I focus in on three different ones. The first one is passing touchdowns, the second one is PPR, And the third one is a tight end premium, or what I'm going to refer to as tight end PPR. The reason I'm going to refer to it as tight end PPR is because a lot of people talk about their tight end premium, but then that premium is added onto the points per reception of the league. And when you have a 1.0 tight end premium, but your PPR is only half PPR, that's just a 1.5 tight end PPR. That's the same difference from one tight end to another as if you have a 0.5 tight end premium in a PPR league. The only difference is that the wide receivers are and the running backs are pushed down more if you have a half PPR with a 1.0 tight end premium versus a 1 PPR and a 0.5 tight end premium. So to eliminate all that confusion, I'm going to talk about it as tight end PPR. That way, I personally think this is the way we should be talking about leagues. I think that this is a clear way when you're talking about trade advice, things like that, just so that way everyone knows, okay, this is how valuable one tight end is versus another. So let's go into the first setting, which is passing touchdowns. So most leagues have either 4-point, 5-point, or 6-point passing touchdowns. In Superflex leagues, that is 52.7% 4-point, 41.8% 6-point, and 5.2% 5-point. So, unsurprisingly, most leagues are 4-point for passing touchdown. That helps keep the quarterbacks down a little bit, but that also means that the rushing quarterbacks are going to be more valuable in most of those leagues. Because 4-point passing touchdown is not as good as if you can run the football in, because in most of these leagues, you'll get 6 points per rushing touchdown. So when looking at this, I know that a lot of people are going to be familiar with the idea of, hey, I want a rushing quarterback. And you see that in the overall dynasty ranks. Who are the top quarterbacks? It's Josh Allen, it's Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, all these guys can go get any number of yards over the course of the week on the ground. So that's something that, all right, that is the most dominant. But if you're in one of those 6-point leagues, you might be able to sneak yourself out with somebody else. You grab a Dak Prescott, who last year threw for the most touchdowns in the league. He did pretty well, and he could make up for what a lot of those other quarterbacks did on the ground. Same with Jordan Love. He had the second most passing touchdowns over the course of the season last year. And so he's someone who's sneakily better in a 6-point per passing touchdown league than a 4-point. And I know I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure plenty of other people are. You go to your favorite league and you look at the scoring results there, and then you don't really bother going to any of your other leagues and seeing what the scoring results were in those ones. And if you do go to those ones, you'll find that, hey, some of these players are a little higher or lower than I expected because my league is just ever so slightly different. And one of those settings is the number of points per passing touchdown. So the second one we're looking at is PPR. So in PPR leagues, I expected this number to be way different. But one PPR is 76.7% of leagues. The overwhelming majority of leagues are PPR leagues. 20.8% are half PPR. And then only 2% don't have any points per reception. That's crazy to me, because when I started playing fantasy football like a decade and a half ago, every single league that I started did not have PPR. And now it is so dominant to have some amount of PPR that only 2% of leagues don't have one. That's crazy. So everyone's thinking in a PPR mindset. Everyone knows that you want those running backs that catch passes out of the backfield. Everyone knows that those wide receivers that are the god are those slant gods that will just catch 8-9 passes a game, but they might not go for the humongous plays. They may not get a ton of yards. That those guys are going to be really, really good. So that's something that you need to be aware of, that, hey, everyone is in that mindset. Everyone knows that PPR is important. Now, one thing that is kind of interesting about that is if you look at the FAQ of Keep Trade Cut, they say that you're supposed to have an agreed upon league style. And they go around a 12-team half PPR with one quarterback and super flex options. Well, that half PPR that they are supposedly working around is only 20% of leagues. 75% of leagues don't even match what Keep Trade Cut has. So I bet you a lot of people don't think that way when they're going through and they're filling it out. I bet you a lot of people are filling it out as PPR, but I was aware that it was supposed to be half PPR. Some other people might be aware that it's supposed to be half PPR. And so that might be something where, hey, some guys are pushed down a little bit on Keep Trade Cut. Some guys are pushed down a little bit maybe in some other dynasty ranks, because those the people putting those ranks together are basing it on half PPR. And so you have to be aware of, hey, what are people thinking of when they are making these rankings? And the majority of leagues that the majority of people are going to be in, if they're full PPR, they might be valuing the wrong players. Now, it's not going to be a huge difference, because we know that the more receptions you have, the more likely you're going to have more yards and more touchdowns and things like that. But it might be the difference between understanding, hey, I want running this guy who's going to be running back 12. He might be running back 7 in a different league. And that little bit of difference might be able to help you win a couple extra matchups. Might, if you do that a couple times, you might be able to accumulate enough of a difference and warp for your team that you're able to get to the next level and create an even more dominant team than you would have if you had just been following the same rankings as everyone else. So now we're going to go into the tight end PPR. So once again, these are in your 12-team super flex leagues. Most of the leagues do not have any form of tight end premium. 40.5% of leagues have a tight end PPR of 1. So, great. That means that you can follow my tight ends don't matter strategy in 40% of your leagues. That's awesome. Now, you start to get a little bit of tight end premium when you get into a 1.5 tight end PPR, where we have 30% of leagues have 1.5 PPR for tight ends. Now, that's kind of surprising to me. I did not expect it to be that many that had at least some amount of tight end premium. But it seems a lot of leagues do. We're almost at 1 out of every 3 leagues has some amount of tight end premium in it, which is awesome. I love it for the tight ends. Those tight ends should absolutely be worth it. But a lot of people are now getting familiar with tight end premium. You might not be able to take advantage of other managers as much if you do have a tight end premium where they're going to devalue the tight ends, because they're starting to get hip to it. We have 5% of leagues have a 1.75 tight end PPR, and we have 9.2% of leagues have 2 for their tight end PPR. So we're looking at another 13%, where 1.75 is about where a lot of people agree that your premium on the tight end actually matters. And the difference between having a middle tight end versus a bad tight end now starts to become a difference. The reason I say tight ends don't matter when I'm talking about my strategies is because when you only have a PPR of 1 for your tight ends, the difference between the tight end who catches 4 passes for 40 yards versus the tight end that catches 2 passes for 25 is pretty negligible. It's a couple points a week, but I mean, it's coming out of a tight end position where I can find somebody that's going to catch two passes for 25 off the waiver wire. Whereas you're having to invest capital, you're having to invest team value just to find a guy who can get four catches for 40 yards. So that's why I go by the tight ends don't matter strategy. When you get up to that 1.75 or 2 value now, that difference starts to become 8 points, 10 points. And that's where I want to actually invest some capital into getting those better tight ends. When the tight ends get 2 points for every single reception, I have a tough time making up that 8 or 10 point difference over the course of every single week. Whereas in a 1 PPR, I can make up those 3 points pretty easily at some other position. So that's why I say that, hey, tight ends don't matter when you have 1 PPR. And that works great for 40.5% of leagues. And it works fine for the other 30% of leagues that have a 1.5 tight end premium. But for that 13% of leagues that have that really high tight end premium, those are the ones where you want to invest in the tight end. And because of the fact that there's 13% of leagues that are in that realm, you have 13% where people might not properly value the tight end. Some people might overvalue them. Some people might undervalue them. But they're going to be used to leagues where tight ends don't matter, and they aren't going to have a good basis for what is a tight end worth? How much should I be spending on them? Keep Trade Cut has an awesome, you can select your tight end premium. You can add a little plus signs to it. But what do those plus signs mean? I don't know. I'm not sure who knows. It's just something that you hit the plus sign to add more tight end premium and you see the value of the tight ends go up. So there's some areas that you can take advantage of as long as you find the right spot where you're comfortable for this is how valuable tight ends are. And there's a lot of leagues that you can do that in. So that's an area that I for sure am going to spend a lot of time talking about, because not only is it something that is niche enough that we can still take advantage of it, but it's common enough that you can take advantage of it. So now let's turn into one quarterback leagues. I know we've spent a ton of time talking about the scoring settings in Superflex leagues, but in one quarterback leagues, we see that everything tends to be a little bit more traditional. So we have 64.8% of leagues have 4 points for the passing touchdown, and 30% have 6 points per passing touchdown. That is significantly weighted more towards the 4-point passing touchdown than it was in Superflex. When we get to PPR, we have 70% that are still at 1 PPR and 26% that are at half PPR. So even though one quarterback leagues are going to be more traditional, it's not actually that much in the PPR realm. PPR has really seemed to have taken and caught on even more so than Superflex has. Superflex probably because it's kind of newer. And then in the tight end PPR space, 66% of leagues have one tight end PPR. That is almost the same number as the leagues that have one as their total PPR. In fact, 24% of leagues have half a point for tight end PPR. So that means out of that 26% of leagues that have half point PPR, that only about 10% of them even have any amount of tight end premium in them. And the same thing happens when you get to 1 PPR. Only 10% of leagues have any amount of tight end premium in them. Whereas when we were in Superflex, we saw that 30% of leagues had a 1.5 tight end premium. 13% had even more. So we know that when you have a Superflex league, you're much more likely to have a tight end premium. Whereas one quarterback, you can go right back into that tight ends don't matter strategy. And you really need to focus in on, okay, who are these studs? Who are these players that are going to make a difference week after week, that are going to be these top wide receivers and running backs? And I just want to invest everything in them. I can make up the difference at the tight end position. The quarterbacks, the second tier guys don't matter. You want a top 12 quarterback because you're only certain 12 in this league. And if you can, you even want to try and get up into that top 1, 2, 3 range, because if you've got quarterback 10, that's not a difference maker for you. You've got 9 other managers in your league that have beaten you that week. So we want to be aware that, hey, these managers in these one quarterback leagues, they also aren't used to tight end premium. That's not two things that if you're in a super flex league with a manager that was in a one quarterback league, or if you decide to enter into a one quarterback league, that is now two things that are definitely way different. You don't have any amount of tight end premium, and you don't have a way, way different value on the quarterback position. So now I'm going to close out the end of this podcast with quickly running through what the stats are for 10-team leagues. 10-team leagues still are majority superflex. It is 53.1% superflex versus 45.3% one quarterback. But that's actually less of a superflex ratio than there are one quarterback. So not only have you reduced the total number of teams in the league, you've reduced the total number of quarterbacks on average. So once again, 10-team leagues, you're more likely to see them be very top-heavy in terms of you want the heavy hitters. You want your Christian McCaffreys. You want your Tyreek Hills. You want your Josh Allens and your Jalen Hurts, because those guys are actually providing a difference in your lineup for you. Your total number of starters in your Superflex leagues are once again 10, 9, and 11 are most popular, with 40% of leagues being start 10, 33.3% being start 9, and 13% being start 11. Now, that is still slightly different than in your start 12s, because in start 12, we had 44% start 10, and 30% start 9, and 16% start 11. So our difference is that we have fewer start 10s, more start 9s, and fewer start 11s. So what does that mean? Hey, more of these 10-team leagues are once again removing a starter out of the lineup. So these 10-team leagues, you're pushing more and more towards, yes, I want to have these studs. And so people that are used to playing in 10-team leagues, and there's a lot of them, because I pointed out how we have almost as many 10-team leagues as we do 12-team leagues. And so a lot of managers are going to be very familiar with the format. And so they're going to overvalue those studs at the positions. And they're going to make it even harder to get them. Whether it's they're going to pay up for them more, whether it's they're going to hold on to them and not let anybody trade for them, all those sorts of things. That's becoming even more exaggerated for managers that play in a lot of 10-team leagues. We also are going to know that in one quarterback, that the number of starters is predominantly start 8. So just like in 12-team, when you go to one quarterback, even though the most common super flex is start 10, the most common one quarterback is start 8. And so we aren't cutting out just the second quarterback. We're also cutting out one of those flex positions or one of those wide receiver or running back positions. And so as a result, yeah, I'm definitely going to be once again heavily leaning towards studs matter. The bench guys, they're fine. You want more of that kind of player when you're in your 12-team, start 11, super flex league. But the managers that are used to the 10-team, they're going to be used to having those stud guys be dominant. Now, when we go into the scoring settings, those are actually quite similar to what we have in the 12-team. So our passing touchdowns for 4-point versus 6-point is 57.2% versus 36.2% in our 10 team leagues. Compare that to our 12 team, where it was 52.7 versus 41.8. So all that means is, hey, we got about 4% of leagues that were in the 6-point range, they got shoved into the 4-point range. All right, that's just fine. That's not a huge difference. PPR-wise, it is so close. We have 76% that are PPR in a 10-team, whereas in a 12-team, we had 76.7%. So it's like 0.7% difference. And then our half PPR is 19.6%. In our 12 team, it was 20.8%. So those PPR values are nearly identical. But what's different is the tight end PPR. Even in our Superflex, 53% of leagues have a 1 tight end PPR. Whereas in 12 team, that was 40.5%. So that number has increased by 13% in a 10 team league. And where did that 13% come from? Well, the number of tight end premiums that are at 1.5 is 18%. Compared to in a 12 team league, that is 12% lower. So in general, 12% of leagues that are 10 team versus 12 team are just going to be more likely to not have a tight end premium. The same thing goes for the likelihood of having an extremely high tight end premium. Only 8% of leagues have greater than the 1.75 tight end premium in a 10 team league. But in a 12 team league, that was 13%. So that's a 5% difference overall. But between the 8% and 13%, that's right around a third. And we get the same thing happening when we look at one quarterback leagues as well. We see that, yes, there's a lot more 4-point passing touchdown than there is 6-point. But it leans even more towards the 4-point per passing touchdown. When we see PPR, it looks nearly identical. And once again, tight end PPR in a one quarterback league, you get almost nothing that has any amount of tight end premium. You have 70.8% that are PPR, and you have 67.7% where the tight end PPR is still one. So you only have about 4% of leagues that have any amount of tight end premium when you're in a one quarterback 10-team league. So I've just gone through a ton of numbers, and it's probably extremely hard to keep in your head, and realistically, you don't need to. What you need to know is that as you increase the number of teams, as you increase the number of starters, you are more and more likely to run into managers who are not as familiar, where you have managers who don't quite know exactly how to value the players, because you're more likely to have other things going on as well. When people turn on, hey, I'm going to start 12 in this league, they're also probably turning on other settings. When they add that super flex spot, they're more likely to boost the quarterback even more. When they're going to add those tight end premiums, those managers aren't going to know how to deal with it. When you put a 2.0 tight end premium, they're gonna know tight end's valuable, but they don't know how much. Do they value it too much? Do they value it too little? And you see this between your leagues. I see this in some of mine where the tight end premium in a league makes it so there's only 1.5 tight end PPR, and people value them more than in some of my leagues where the tight end PPR is 2 or 2.5. And you have to feel out each league where the managers are valuing them and figure out using analysis, whether it's using the work tool that I've created, whether it's something else that fits into your process to figure out, okay, this is the actual value that I should be shooting for in this league. And it helps to know what other people are going to be biased towards. They're going to be biased towards that 12-team Start 10 Superflex League. If you've got something that starts to differ from that, people are going to be biased away from it. There's not going to be as much content around it. And you might be able to get a one-up on those managers by taking advantage of the fact that they're stuck into some other mindset. Or maybe you're the person stuck in that mindset and you need to open your eyes a little bit in order to be able to take advantage of the unique scoring settings that are in that league. Before I head out of here, I've got to talk about our partnership that we have here at South Harmon with Ultimate Autographs. Ultimate Autographs has live sports memorabilia breaks. So what you do is you go on and you say, I want an entry into this break that has tons of cool stuff, whether it's signed helmets, jerseys, MLB bats, NFL footballs, and mini helmets. They've got all sorts of things. And you sign up and say, I want to be in on this break. And then three times a day, they do live drawings where you determine, hey, what do you get out of this pot of stuff? Mike has done this a ton. He's gotten himself some really cool jerseys, all sorts of things that he's going to keep for himself. He's also going to give some of it away on our upcoming draft stream. And also for our 10K subscriber celebration, you can get all sorts of stuff yourself. To do that, you go to Signed Shit, signedsh.it. There's no .com at the end, signedsh.it. And you go there and you enter the discount code HARMON15 at checkout and you save 15% off. So once again, go to signedsh.it and use the code HARMON15 and get yourself some good memorabilia. So that's everything for this week. If you have any questions, definitely come tweet at me. I'm at Dynasty Koopa on Twitter. Or you can join the Discord, patreon.com/South Harmon. Talk to me directly on there. We've got the Wrinkled Brains channel where not only do I hang out and answer some analytics questions, you also have Dynasty Barry, who is doing some awesome work with doing tons of player evaluations and things like that all through data analytics. And if you want to get a head start on that warp tool that I've been talking about, you can go sign up for that on southharmonff.com. Don't worry, there will be a show later on where I will be diving into warp and how I'm using it in some different leagues to help you adjust from one league type to another. But nothing is the whole picture. The whole point of what I'm trying to give to you is to turn your brain on to thinking about, hey, how does this apply to my situation? How can I think about what other managers are going to be valuing or how I should be valuing things as my leagues change? And so keep coming back week after week, and we're going to help you build your strategy. We're going to help you understand, this is how I want to play Dynasty. So come back next week, and don't forget to stay sharp and grind that edge.